This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. Good to see you and have you here celebrating our 10th year. I love this episode. I'm going to call this episode Showtime. Well, actually, it's because my guest is calling it that. But before we get going, please support our great sponsors and partners. More than 16% of light-duty vehicles on the road are EV and hybrid. Is your shop ready to safely and properly service them? Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with NAPA AutoTech's innovative EV-ready Level 1 high-voltage awareness and maintenance training. Hey, let's face it, your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. And NAPA Trax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane with on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Find NAPA Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Introduce you to Jason Hladnik. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Carm. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. You've been on my show long, long time ago when you still were involved in a shop. Now, it's really cool. Jason is a service advisor coach at RPM Training with Murray Voth.
It was amazing. Murray's been a mentor of mine. In fact, I met Murray back in 2009 when I'd opened my shop, and met Murray had mentored me all through the years. So it's pretty cool now after I sold my shop to jump aboard with RPM and work with Murray and the team. It's pretty cool.
Okay. So conceptually, here's why you want to listen to this episode and take this entire episode in, because we're going to talk about what Jason calls Showtime. Now, yes, he's a musician, plays all kinds of instruments, and maybe near the end of it, the show will explain all the great things that you do as far as performance, knowing your audience, and this kind of related exactly into how you're helping coach and teach and train service advisors.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the concept is, you know, getting ready for showtime, being prepared. So when your shop opens up in the morning, everything's in tune, everything's ready to go. So now the service advisor can focus on giving a great experience and not so much administrative duties.
You know, the thing I love about what you just said, I'm not a musician, but I love music my whole life. And when you'd go and see a band, or even you go to a local club on the lake here in Lake Erie, and you'd see them come in with their suitcases and drum kits and microphones. I'm an observer, so you'd watch them put it all together, to set it all up, realizing that there's a point in time where the music has to be there, and it has to be together, and it has to be right, and it has to move people. But what it takes to get there, I love your concept, work toward showtime.
Yeah. Any professional band, you're working behind the scenes. So you're working on songs, you're working on set lists, you're working on performance, you're working parts, you know, maybe different solos throughout the performance. There's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes that we as audiences may not realize. So then when the band hits the stage and you've gone to that show, you're blown away. It's a great performance. You know, the backup singers are right in tune. They've got pyros going off. Who knows? Depending on what kind of show you're going to, all that hard work is done before the performance. And that's how I relate it to an automotive shop. A lot of times when we think of our shop, are we ready for showtime? When we open our doors, do we really know what's happening throughout the day? Do we have all the parts? Do we have all the necessary tools in place? And then are our members all on the same page? I mean, if you've got a technician or another advisor or someone else that's on the team that maybe isn't pulling their weight or doesn't really know what songs they're playing, you know, if I relate it back to music, it's like a band. If you have a bass player that doesn't have a set list or didn't check his bass to see if it was in tune, that performance isn't going to be so that great. I mean, the band's going to get through it, but it's not going to be as great as it could be.
Conceptually, I love this. I really do. You could come into work in the morning and somehow life got in your way and you may not be prepared for that first interaction, that first phone call, that first dispatch, that first estimate, because you didn't set up your, I'm going to put it in quotes, equipment. And that's everything, Jason. That's mental. That's everything.
Yeah. As a service advisor, you're running late. Like you said, life happens. You're 5 minutes before the shop's supposed to open. You've got technicians waiting. You open the door and now you're scrambling. What kind of experience are your clients getting? I see it time and time again. Advisors are maybe coming off a bit rude. They don't mean to, but their stress level is high. things aren't controlled. Now you're reacting, phones are ringing. You know, there's two clients that showed up that weren't supposed to be there that day. Like, it can all fall apart. And this is just 5 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Let this episode move you and stop to think, what are you doing? Service advisor training in our industry is on fire. I've gone on record to say, I think it's the single most pivotal part of the entire operation. And we need to do the best that we can from all the technology of listening to phone calls, evaluating those calls, what we can do better. But I love the whole music thing. So work with us on this. Think about a person getting storytelling. Let's talk about storytelling as it relates to music, because every song has a story in it, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And that audience will connect to that song. Right? When that audience is connected with you, you're able to express, you know, what's happening, and you have that connection, and now you have full attention, right? And that's another thing with service advisors, is sometimes we don't have the client's full attention, and it's when we share information. So if someone comes into your shop expecting to get an engine oil maintenance service, and then we're telling them it needs all this other additional work, well, consider the audience. Were they ready to receive that information? And are they actually listening to us? Maybe they're thinking they left their garage door open, or they're thinking about a meeting they're running late for. And now we're putting stress on them to make this decision to spend an X amount of money more.
I love what you said, connect to a song. And it doesn't matter what kind of song that you're probably listening to. You can relate to some portion of that song, where I was at the time, what it meant to me. Was I in a relationship or not? Were we starting our family? Oh my God, the laundry list is huge. I have a problem with my vehicle, right? I come in, if I'm willing to have a consistency in the approach to my music back to my client, I may get a better relation back to me if I can try to figure out, I'm going crazy, what's the song that my client needs to hear?
Yeah, the approach. It's like this. It's like, let's say you bought tickets to go see an orchestra. When you get there, you're excited to see the orchestra, but instead of the orchestra, AC/DC hits the stage. You know, the crowd was thinking, hey, it was going to be an orchestra, it's AC/DC. Now they start booing. That doesn't mean that AC/DC is not a great band, Carm. What that means is that AC/DC is playing to the wrong audience. As a professional advisor, you have to stay consistent. However, you need to understand your audience, and you need to be able to adapt to certain clients. Certain clients might be passionate about factory scheduled maintenance, so there's going to be a way that we approach that. There are other clients that may not see the value in it. That doesn't mean we don't discuss it. We just need to approach it differently.
I can't imagine, Jason, trying to prep for a workday under a Showtime moniker, because isn't every song or client situation different?
It can be, but you, as advisors, we need to be consistent. Because if we're not consistent, now we become negotiators. We become sales-driven. So if I know that I've got five clients coming in and they're all in for, say, engine oil maintenance services, and my policy in the shop is that every engine oil maintenance service, factory scheduled maintenance gets checked. I need to be consistent with that. But it's how I present that information and when I present that information is so important. Like AC/DC songs, when they're playing to the wrong group, they're still going to rock their songs, right? Because they believe in their songs. So as advisors, I believe in my policies. I believe in the approach or the consistency, but it's the approach maybe I need to adapt a little bit. Maybe this client really likes a text message and they don't want to pick up their phone. So now I need to adapt to that and send the information via text. But here's the trick with that. I may not be comfortable sending the text message, so I don't do it, and I try and call the client.
I love what you're saying, is I'm thinking of all the shows that we have done here on service advisor training and the role plays that we've done, and we've discussed in the past knowing the communication style of the client. Of course, knowing yours and knowing theirs. And the thing that I like about what you just helped me with mentally to get over that hump of knowing what type of song I've got to sing back to the client. Is it a dominant extrovert, you know, steady conformity individual? It's like, what if we could just pick four different songs? You know, or to your point, rock band, orchestra, jazz band. I love this because people occasionally they get a mental block. I just can't get over how I'm supposed to act or what I'm supposed to do. Maybe this whole music thing helps.
In my experience through the years that I've been doing this, there are, say, maybe contractors. When I dealt with contractors, they didn't want the fluff. They wanted the straight goods. And some of those conversations, I actually had to take out into the shop because they might not be appropriate to have out front. That's just how some of the contractors I dealt with, that's just how they like to have a laugh. They like to have a joke, but they wanted to get down to the real deal of what's going on with their vehicles. Whereas somebody that is maybe doesn't understand their vehicle or really is a little intimidated by the shop, that conversation is going to be look different to that client. The information is going to be the same, but the performance of the advisor and the experience is going to be a little different. And that's such an important piece. We need to be consistent with our policies, our approach of the information we're sharing, Carm, but we need to maybe change it up. And as you say, pick a different tune of how we approach this client.
Okay, let's move a little bit away from music and let's talk about pre-appointment communications. I mean, what is your philosophy on that?
Yeah, so again, that falls right into getting ready for showtime. I believe conversations should be happening 2 or 3 days before the appointment. And the reason for this is that there's two things happening there. We're reaching out as advisors and we're confirming that appointment. So, you know, does Tuesday at 8 o'clock still work for you? But then that gives us an opportunity to have these discussions about maybe deferred work or factory scheduled maintenance that is due on the vehicle. Now, as a professional advisor, if we are following factory scheduled maintenance, I just need to know the make and model and the kilometers of the vehicle, and I can quote what's due for that vehicle. But what I've learned is that now when I'm having these conversations before the appointment, I'm not stressing my client out because they have time to review the work. Maybe it's deferred work from the last service, or maybe it's factory scheduled maintenance. They have time to look it over, maybe talk to a partner or a spouse and make an informed decision and have time to get back to me. And that's key because when we consider that, when we consider the alternative, the old school way was, you know, when they come into the shop, oh, by the way, you need this, 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 this. Well, now it could come off as like a sales pitch almost. The other issue with that is that when we give time to the client to decide and get ready for showtime, we're discussing business before the appointment. So everything's been worked out. We know exactly what we're doing. As an advisor, I can order the parts. Or if there's too much work that was approved for the client, maybe I have to talk about moving that appointment to another day, right? So I'm keeping control of my schedule and I have time to react to do that. So business is discussed. So when that client drops off or comes into your shop, I'm building relationships now. We already know what's happening with the vehicle. We already know the price. We already know the pickup and, you know, the drop off, all that. But now I can start asking them about the hockey game or, you know, life. And now I start to build an experience and I start to work on those personal relationships.
Are you an NAPA Auto Care Center who is ready to take your shop to the next level? Then the premier tier NAPA Auto Care Gold Certified program is exactly what you need. Gold Certified Auto Care Centers provide customers with a consistent experience no matter where they are in the U.S. Now, this means they are more likely to return and support your shop or find your Gold Certified Auto Care Center while on the road. Gold Certified members can maximize technology, increase their local marketing opportunities, and have a fully trained team that keeps up with the latest trends. Simply put, the Gold Certified NAPA Auto Care program powered by your local brand will set you apart. A true partnership is a two-way street. Shops must meet specific criteria to be eligible for the many benefits of gold. Now, NAPA Auto Care rewards its most committed partners, their gold certified members, with free premium shop referrals on the NAPA online locator, annual marketing dollars, an enhanced warranty, training opportunities, program rebates, and so much more. Are you ready to get started? Contact your local NAPA sales representative to discuss your eligibility and apply today. More than 16% of light-duty vehicles on the road are EV and hybrid. Is your shop ready to safely and properly service them? Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with NAPA AutoTech's innovative EV-ready Level 1 high-voltage awareness and maintenance training. Hey, take your auto care center to the next level, the gold level, with the NAPA Auto Care Gold Certified Program. This program is for the best of the best who can provide a consistent consumer experience and earn the trust of returning and new customers. Talk to your NAPA sales representative about how you can become a gold certified shop. Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the industry's best, most comprehensive SMS. Now, it all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you need to run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. And having local representation is a huge plus. Customizing Trax to your business, whether you're a one-person shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company, a representative consults with you to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. Trax always has the flexibility to do business how you need to do it, which means it can also grow as your business grows. And unlike the other guys, we'll be there for you after installation with the best training and support in the business. Yes, a learning management system tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. How do we know that we are obtaining, quote, a professional level in our industry? I think there's so many on our counter that we have hired and put there, and I'm not sure that they feel have been trained or are valued as professional.
We can look at it as where I see advisors getting uncomfortable, not all of them, but a lot of them, is when they're perceived as salesperson.
Ah, I like that. That's a great, great point. When they're perceived as a salesperson. Versus
a service professional, a service advisor. See, in a car dealership, you have sales and you have service. And so when we run a shop, if an advisor feels like a salesperson, they start to feel like they're upselling, or the client doesn't really need this because I feel like I'm upselling, or this is going to be too expensive, so I don't want to bring this up to the client because they just spent $2,000. Now I'm asking for another $3,000. So when the sales gets into a service advisor's life, that holds back the professional. Because I relate it to this. My wife, she works in the dental industry. She's a registered hygienist. And when her and I talk, because the industries are, our businesses are close. She's working on patients, we're working on cars. But one interesting thing, my wife's been doing this, you know, very professional, 27, 28 years, about the same time I've been doing my profession. And when she has a patient in her chair, and let's say there's really bad oral care, like this patient maybe never brushes her teeth or clearly doesn't look after their oral hygiene, that doesn't stop my wife from recommending what needs to happen.
I love that. That's got to sink in there for a minute. If we see a person that isn't maintaining or doesn't care for their vehicle, and it is just quote unquote, I hate to use the word, just transportation for them, but they just don't seem to have a caring bone in their body for the safety and the reliability of that vehicle. I love the analogy between dental and us. That's brilliant.
With my wife, she'll recommend best practices. She'll recommend services. She'll recommend cleaning. Whatever it is, that client gets the recommendations. Now, it's up to the client what they want to do. So if they want to go ahead with the treatment plan, great. If they don't want to go ahead with the treatment plan, great. That's the mark of a professional. The emotional bank account, the perceived that, oh, they don't want to do this or they can't afford this, goes all out the window. But when we're sales driven as a service advisor, now we start to negotiate. This vehicle, this thing needs thousands of dollars worth of work, and this client's not going to fix it. I'm not going to waste my time. So now you start to pick and choose. Now you become a master negotiator without even knowing. This approach actually creates more stress on the service advisor. Whereas a consistent approach and being ready for that client and knowing what the vehicle needs and explaining everything to them, giving them the opportunity to digest the information, that's a whole different experience for the client.
Does that make a lot of sense to me, to be able to discuss from a position of knowledge and confidence in, okay, I guess I could say that your teeth can do this. I mean, I don't know the medical terms, but they really do say that your oral health has a lot to do with your heart. And I don't know if that's true or not. But if that's truly the case, you can state your case, but you can't hammer it home, just like you can in the safety and reliability of your vehicle, so that it's there for you when you need it. On the other hand, I guess if the relationship is strong and the trust is there, they're going to do what you recommend as a professional.
But as advisors, there's advisors out there that don't recommend.
Because they don't want to be salespeople.
They don't want to be salespeople, and they're not ready for showtime. They're stressed out because they've got the phone ringing. They've got this client that just walked in. A wrong part just showed up, and now they have to deal with all this. So a lot of this stuff gets missed, and then the advisors start to pick and choose. When I think of a professional, it's about consistency. When you go to see my wife for your teeth, she's going to tell you exactly what she sees and what the treatment plan is. When you come to my automotive shop, I'm going to let you know the state of your vehicle. I'm also going to let you know the things that the vehicle is due for, your factory scheduled maintenance, and I'm going to give you all the facts, and then we can have a discussion. With dental work, it's very similar. All this work doesn't need to be done at once. The same with your vehicle. All this work doesn't need to be done at once. We're going to pick away at the safety severe, and then we're going to put a plan down. But in the dental, if you're sales-driven, it's going to be, well, this person's teeth, they've never done any care for their teeth for the last 10 years. I'm not even going to say anything. See you later, right? Like, it's not fair. It's not professional. But that's what happens in our industry.
You just nailed the word professional to the degree I guess I've been looking for. And that is, if you took that dental person, so they could sleep at night, they need to tell this individual the risks that they're under. And they're not selling, they're just telling. And I know that, you know, we would maybe rather tell than sell, but if you've got a vehicle that is not in great shape, don't sell, just tell. And maybe that tell, the confident telling, lifts the professionalism of you. I don't want to be known as a salesperson. Well, you're not. You're just telling the individual what's around the next corner. And I think in both medical and in vehicle, not enough people know.
No. And another thing is that some advisors, some businesses are afraid to give out prices. They'll tell the client what's wrong with the vehicle, but then it's like a mystery. The client's got to call back in and ask, well, how much is this and how much is this? And again, that puts more stress on the advisor. Carm, let me ask you, let's say you call me over and you want your roof inspected, and I jump on your roof and I'm up there and I'm like, whoa, whew, this roof looks pretty bad, Carm. What's your next question to me?
What's pretty bad?
Right. So then I explain to you, well, this roof looks like, you know, we should be changing this roof within the, you know, 6-7 month range, you know, say before snow flies. And what's your next question after that?
And I guess I may want to say, then how much?
Right. And when can you do it?
I want more proof. Take some pictures, come back, explain to me what it is you're going to do. Why is this bad? How old is this? I think, I don't care, roof, $20,000, whatever the hell the number is, depending on the size of the roof. People go, oh, yeah, I got it in my piggy bank. There's no way that a vehicle repair versus a roof is the same in the same category. But yet, I love your point. If you can't get up to the roof to see what's really bad, and if you can't really see what's really bad in the vehicle, we have to do a much better job in setting up our songbook to explain to the client exactly what's wrong with the roof, what's really wrong with the vehicle. That goes back to showtime.
Showtime. All the information ready to go. I'm going to be transparent with pictures and videos. And then as a professional advisor, I'm going to anticipate your next questions. When can you do it? Well, Carm, we can do your breaks next week. So I'm going to put that in. And here's the price. How much is it, Jason? Here's the price. So I've already anticipated those key questions, and now I've sent you that information. And now you can review that and make an informed decision while I move on to another task. Because what happens is that advisors, where we get into trouble and when we don't manage our time, is that we like to give little snippets out. Well, you need breaks. Okay. So then the client calls back in, hey, Jason, I got your report. It looks like I need breaks. How much is that going to be? Well, let me do a quote and I'll call you back.
Well, that goes against everything I've ever heard in the industry. Every great service advisor. Listen, we find out what's wrong. We're going to quote 100%. You know, the 300 rule, right? The 100 and 100 and 100. You're going to do 100% inspection, 100% estimate, and 100% quote.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah, why? Hello, isn't that your job? Aren't you pounding on brains out there?
It's a part of our job. But look at all the other things that we're not prepared for showtime. Look at all the other issues that service advisors have to deal with. Like, let's say the band isn't in tune. Now the service advisor has to deal with a technician that maybe they don't get along with, and that part they put on didn't fix the problem. So now you've got that issue to deal with. Then you've got the pressure of maybe ownership that you just had a conversation with yesterday saying, our numbers are down. You know, we need to do this and we got to put a plan together. You've got that pressure. Then in the morning, when you went to leave for work, your dog was sick. Then you show up at the shop and you're reactive. You don't have anything planned. That's why things don't get quoted, because if you're a professional advisor, you're going to be aware of your time management. And what's interesting about it is that service advisors are generally really good at booking vehicles in for their technicians, but they're maybe not so good at managing their own time and booking time to get certain things done. And they're reactive all throughout the day.
You just said something that I think is worthy of just a comment from me. Life is heavy and complicated, isn't it? And there isn't anyone who's within the sound of my voice that can't probably just shake their head and say this. It's like there's the graduation tonight, there's the soccer tonight, there's swimming tomorrow, there's, oh my God, they have a half a day of school. Now I got to figure out who's going to babysit the kid. The level of complication, the heaviness of life, the complications of life are so strong. And if it's happening to any individual on our counter, in our bays, in our offices, anywhere, that burden that we're feeling on our own self is across from us on the phone or on the counter. And our job, to your point, I love the music thing, is to make this music be flawless in our interpretation of how we can help.
And think of that concept of what the client's going through. When they're stressed out about life and there's something wrong with their vehicle, now if we're ready for showtime, that it's going to be a really great experience and they're going to connect to the song that we're playing. The band's in tune. We've got our stuff together. We're going to put on a great performance. They're going to remember that. Just like remembering that song, Carm, about where you were at a certain time, clients remember those experiences. Now, it could start off to be a really bad experience, but because you have systems and procedures and consistency, you know how to perform to get through that, and that cements the relationship even stronger. When you think of training and you think of getting ready for showtime, it's interesting because I love music. I'm very passionate about it. I've done a lot of reading and, you know, on the subject and what makes bands great. They never stop rehearsing, practice. They never stop training on their instrument. There's a really cool picture of the Beatles way back before they hit the Ed Sullivan Show. Now, the Beatles were getting very big. They were big where they came, you know, in England and that. They're coming over to America. They were very successful. But here they are, four guys in a room hammering out a song they've probably played 500 times before the big show. Now, when we look at our shops, how much training do we do in our shops? And how prepared are we for the next day and put on a great show? It's interesting, you know?
It is so powerful to say the words, never stop practicing, never stop rehearsing. And a lot of that not only can go from a coaching environment where you've got teams together or you're listening to phone calls, you're doing role plays, but to get muscle memory going. And again, this is brain memory going, that I can play a riff on a guitar without even thinking about it because I feel it.
And Carm, when you tried to first play that riff, you couldn't do it.
No. So, oh God, as a musician, So here it is. I want to learn this incredible riff that, you know, one of the biggest and best riffs in rock music history. And I struggled. What does it take? 400 times to get it? The point is that, yeah, there's a lot of natural made, I get it, tour guide type service advisors out there. But the rest of us, we got to work it.
Yeah. We have to get better at our craft. We have to acknowledge. We have to create time and space. And we have to realize that we don't know everything. And that's another thing. The longer you've been in this industry, you may not be open to that because you might feel exposed. Well, I've been doing this for 10 years. I'm not going to let someone know I don't understand how to do that, right? Because I know you put that pressure on yourself. Whereas I relate back to music. You've got bands. I look up some of my favorite artists. I would love to play with these bands, you know, to play with them, but they never stop practicing. I was reading an article. There's a band called the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We've probably all heard of them. There's a bass player, Flea, and he's pretty much been doing that, you know, basically his whole life. And really, he's got it. You know, he's known worldwide, and he practices hours a day. Here's a guy that's at the top of the top, but he's still learning. I think of our service advisor industry. Like, a service advisor might take a course a year, and okay, yeah, I took training. Well, what does that mean? You might have taken the training, you nodded at some of the good ideas, maybe you implemented one, but you have to keep on it.
Thank you for this. My mind is going a mile a minute. And I started to think about, okay, I'm at the top of my craft. I'm a service advisor. I've got great numbers. People love me. I love my clients. I get along really well. And I could get, you know, if you will, stagnant, complacent, unless, because I was so good and so smart and so on the cutting edge, I'd say, it's time to learn a new song. Think about that, right? If you can come with the Showtime mentality in this whole music and concept that you're working with, it may be time to learn some new song. I've always loved this song, but I've never played it. I've never sang it. I've never understood it. It's time. New song.
And change with the times. If we look at bands like U2, U2 back in the 80s was a completely different band than what they turned out to be in the 2000s. And they stayed relevant and they changed with the times, right? There's a lot of bands that phase out and they get, well, this is an 80s band and they were big in the 80s, but they weren't able to go into the 90s and the 2000s. But when you look at bands that are successful in long career, they change with the times. And this is so important too. When we think of getting ready for Showtime, a service advisor that's not comfortable with technology doesn't mean that's good for business. Just because you don't want to send a text message doesn't mean your client doesn't want the text message.
Yeah, that was one thing I had written down that I never talked about is how do people want to ultimately be contacted, text, person, call? If we're singing from the song list, I have to learn what their song is all about. That's just logical in CRM management today.
When we talk about online appointments, there's a lot of pushback in the industry, service advisors, I don't want people to have my schedule. I don't want them to make their own appointment. But yet the clients want this. They want to be able to connect with your shop after hours and book their own appointment. So your audience is wanting something, but you're saying, I don't want it, or I'm not comfortable with it. Well, who are we here to serve? Are we here to serve ourselves, or are we trying to get better and serve our clients? Technology's changed. Times have changed. You too, back in the 80s, if they were still looked and sounded the same, they would have been gone years ago.
Okay, let's talk about online scheduling. I'm open to it. A schedule came in and I see a conflict brewing. Something just happened. From your experience, you just pick up the phone and fix it, right?
It's no different than getting behind the shop or having someone call in sick that you weren't prepared.
Flexibility.
Flexibility. It's not perfect, right? Instruments do go out of tune at times. One of my very first performances, Carm, when I was playing, I do, you know, a 50s styles rockabilly sound and I play the stand-up bass. And my first show, if you can believe this, my bass came apart on me. All my strings went everywhere. So here I am, I'm maybe three songs into my set. I'm nervous as anything and my worst nightmare happened. But here's the difference. I was prepared. So I have an electric bass on standby. So I was able to grab my electric bass, plug in, and I finished my set with my electric bass that at least got me through the set. And then when I had some time, I put my bass back together. The difference was I was prepared and I didn't let that fear of my bass coming apart stop me from performing. I learned from it, right? So when we go to online scheduling, I hear all this, well, no, it's conflicts and this and that. I'm like, yeah, but like you said, Carm, flexibility. If 10 appointments can be booked online, you've just saved time on those 10 appointments. If one or two you have to react to, who cares? You've saved all this time. You've saved 10 phone calls, right?
Yeah, imagine taking that phone call saying, hey, listen, my check engine light is on. What do I do? Or they see their check engine light is on. They go to your website, they schedule, and they're in. And there was no how much, there was no how long. There was no nothing. It's just like, please do me.
A classic example is a shop that offers tire storage. You know those clients are coming back to see you because you have their tires. So why do you take all these phone calls through your busy season from clients you already know are coming back to see you? So you either pre-book that next appointment or say, we've got something new you can now book online. Go. Because that way, I don't have to book a seasonal tire changeover. I can work on other tasks throughout the day.
Everyone can notice Jason's talking about tire storage. He also said the word kilometer. Jason, of course, is from the Great White North. Ontario, right? Ontario somewhere?
Ontario, yeah. We just got through a pretty big heat wave last couple of days, Carm. So
yeah, I know. And we are the whole entire eastern side of the U.S. is when we're recording this. It's just either we're just in it in the middle or something like that. We've never seen heat like this. And I live in Buffalo, and we usually have, you know, 70, low 80s. We're in the 90s. It's amazing stuff. Any final thoughts that we didn't cover that you'd just like to give our audience?
Professional versus sales driven. It's the long term. You need to be consistent. When you're not consistent, you're now a master negotiator. When you have systems and procedures in place and your service advisors have a consistent approach, whether it's $5,000 or $25, they present the information, and it's when the advisor presents the information. When they're ready for showtime, the band, when they've rehearsed, like when the Beatles rehearsed to play the Ed Sullivan Show, they went on and they knocked it out of the park because they rehearsed, they were ready for the show. It's your shop. Are you ready for showtime?
Great concepts. Thank you so much for this, Jason Hlidnik from RPM Training Service Advisor Coach. If you've listened to learn one great thing in this episode, most importantly is implement it. And whatever, ever you do, my friend, do it well. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks, Carl.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.